Time now for KRWG StoryCorps. I'm Edmundo Resendez. Today we meet Ryan Otero as he talks with StoryCorps facilitator Virginia Lora about working as a pollero, driving undocumented immigrants from Phoenix, Arizona to Washington, D.C.
I've seen and experienced women that were raped multiple times by these polleros, these coyotes, and they had there's nothing that they could do. They had no options other than just hope that they arrive at their final destination at some point. I've seen people robbed for the little bit of money that they might have had on them, or whatever personal possessions that they brought with them, which wouldn't be in effect anything that you could just carry on your back in a backpack. Even very sentimental things like a locket with their children's photo or their parents' photo. Just some really, really devastating things that I think most people forget when they're talking just about the politics of illegal or undocumented immigration. So eventually those images started to stick with me a lot more than I assumed they would. And I'm talking about nightmares. I'm talking about just like sort of a pretty intense depression where I was in a bubble and I didn't want to look outside of anything but what I was doing at that exact moment. There were plenty of good times. I mean, if a group of people were delayed at the border and caught and they were going to try again the next night, my boss would give me $100, $200 to go out and party because I didn't have to work, quote unquote, work that night. But there were a lot of good times. But part of the reason that I stopped working that job was because of the things that I was seeing that were just I just was not strong enough to be witnessing them on a regular basis as much as I was. And I decided that I could still make money and avoid having to deal with the human aspect of this job if I started taking other things from Mexico instead of people. And so one day my boss offered me the opportunity to carry some drugs from Phoenix to Washington, D.C. And normally I would never consider that an option, no matter, even if they promised me $1 million, that's not something that I was interested in doing. But month after month of seeing these horrible atrocities against humanity, it just seemed like the easiest decision. At the time, like, I did not think twice about it. It meant that I didn't have to stuff someone in the back of the trunk. It meant that I didn't have to walk into a house that possibly had no electricity and have to listen to people literally beg me for food or water. And it meant that I could just take all personhood out of this equation and just bring another asset. You know, if it wasn't human capital, it was another type of asset that, you know, was coming from Mexico and being delivered to Washington, D.C. I never thought of it as drugs. And I think that I would have normally, but after that whole experience with people, I didn't want to think of it any more than just like a package I was bringing. You know, it may as well just been FedEx or the United States Postal Service. So the last day I ever worked in anything having to do with Phoenix, Arizona or Washington, D.C. back and forth was one night I was driving from Phoenix to Washington, D.C. I didn't have any people in the car, but I did have a large quantity of illegal substance, and I needed help driving. I normally never ask for help driving, and I normally didn't want anyone else to be in the car with me because I didn't want to be responsible for them if they got in trouble. But this time I had just finished two trips in a row. I had been on the road for the better part of 6 days in a row back and forth without having any time to relax and any time to rest up and regroup. So I told my boss that I needed help driving, and he assigned this woman to help me drive. And the plan was that I was going to drive in the daytime, so that if anyone saw me, I would probably not get pulled over. And she would drive at nighttime so that people, you know, no one could see in the car, and she would be less likely to be stopped at that point. And we crossed over into the Arkansas border. I was asleep in the passenger seat. I had driven all day from like 7 in the morning till 9 at night without stopping. And finally, when night fell, I decided it was time for me to get some rest. So I moved over into the passenger seat, and she started to drive where she would be driving overnight. And she woke me up, and she just had this, like, horribly scared look on her face, and the car wasn't moving, and she said to me in Spanish that we had been stopped. And just this calm came over me. I don't know why, but I just told her, everything's going to be okay. I'll handle it. And the officer came to the car. She didn't, of course, did not have a driver's license. She was undocumented. I explained that I was tired, so she was helping me drive just for a little bit so I could sleep. He got suspicious, and he pulled her out and questioned her in his patrol car and questioned me separately. Of course, when you're carrying large amounts of illegal substance, you have a conversation about what happens if. So we had already discussed what we were going to say if anyone asked. But he asked a lot of questions, and there were some things that we didn't discuss, and our stories did not exactly match up. And so he asked me if he could search the car. At that point, I had to say yes, because if I would have said no, that would have given suspicion and probable cause for him to search anyway, and he probably would have searched a lot more closely than he did. So I had to say yes, at which point he pulled me out of the car, put my hands on the hood, and proceeded to search my car. Everyone that had been doing this before told me, oh, well, you should take out your airbag and put it in the steering wheel and then close up the steering wheel again, or break one of the seams in the seat and then put it in the seat and then sew it back up again. Or, you know, there's a thing you can put over your battery and it'll just look like your battery, or put it in your fuel tank or something like that. And I said to myself, I'm like, I know my luck, you know, I know my luck. The harder I try to hide this, the easier it's going to be found. Like, that's Murphy's Law for me. And so it was in my suitcase. It was, like, just mixed in with my clothes, my shirts and my pants. And my suitcase was in the trunk. And the officer, after searching the front seat and the back seat of my car, went into the trunk. And this was on Route 40, right over the Arkansas line. It was about midnight. I don't know how I heard it, but even with the car zooming by on the highway, I heard the officer open the zipper to my suitcase, and I figured at that point it was over, the game was up. I was having a conversation with myself in my head about not telling my parents and just letting them think that, I don't know, maybe I died, or I don't know. Just, there was no way I was going to be able to tell my parents that. And for whatever reason, I like to think it's because I did help out a lot of people, and my original motivation was to help people. For whatever reason, after looking through my entire car and going through my suitcase, the officer came back around the car, handed me my keys, and said, that woman that you're with is not allowed to drive because she doesn't have a license. If you're tired, there's a rest stop about 3 miles up. Have a good night. Be safe. And that was the last time that I ever took the trip from Phoenix, Arizona to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Ryan Otero and Virginia Lora from a conversation recorded in El Paso. You can hear this story and other local StoryCorps interviews online at krwg.org in the radio tab under StoryCorps. For KRWG, I'm Edmundo Resendez.